Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bava Kama Daf Pei Vav Amud Bet at the very top of the Amud with the rest of the first Mishnah. If you recall, at the end of the first piece that we saw the small detail about Boshet, and that was that it was Hakol Lefiam Vayesh Vahamit Payesh. It's all based on their particular standard. We identified that as being the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now, this the end of Mishnah Aleph presented here details more circumstantial issues relating to Boshet, including extending liability to circumstances we might have thought there was none. Hamvayeshet ha'arum, if you shame somebody who's naked. Hamvayeshet ha'sumam, shame somebody who's blind. Hamvayeshet ha'yashen, somebody who's sleeping. Chayav. All of these are people who, in spite of the fact that they are either in already shameful situations or unaware, nonetheless is liability. We'll see the details in the Gemara. V'yashen shebiyesh patur. However, somebody who is sleeping, who shames another. Remember, you're chayiv for nezakim even while you're asleep, except for boshet. That demands some level of recognition and intent. Anafalmin hagag v'hiziku v'yesh, in the same light, if somebody fell from a roof and did some damage, and part of the damage was boshet, chayav l'nezek u'patur ala boshet, ad shemit kaven. He's liable for everything except boshet, because that needs intent. All right, we'll see a brayta that expands. Tanu rabbanan, bisho arum chayav. All right, but ve'eino doma bisho arum v'bisho lavush. However, the damages are not the same. You can't compare the two. And therefore, the implication is that the liability will not be as high. Bishob beit hamerchatz chayav. If you shame somebody in the beit hamerchatz where everybody is naked, in any case, you are liable. Ve'eino doma bishob beit hamerchatz v'bishob b'shuk. But it's again not the same as just shaming him out in public. Now let's see what this is about. Amar bishob arum chayav. And now here's the question that really goes back to our Mishnah. Arum bar boshet hu. Since when does somebody who's naked have some kind of shame that they can experience? Now, the notion here is that shaming is not some sort of an insult hurled at somebody, but something you do to someone, and somebody who's naked is essentially vulnerable already. Rav Papa, my Arum, the Atazika, Rav Papa explains Arum, both in our Mishnah and the Braita, means the Atazika, Kachinu Lamane, wind came and blew up his clothes. Viatahu, Dalinu Tfeu Vishe, and this fellow came along, and while the wind came, he lifted them further and shamed him. So don't think that just because the wind had already pushed his clothes up and embarrassed him, that he is now an easy target, as it were. Bishovet Merchatz Chayav, the second half of the Braita, is about the bathhouse. Beit HaMerchatz Barboshet, how can you shame somebody there? So our Papa should be Shoal Gavanar. It's not really a Beit HaMerchatz, but people were bathing by the river, and this fellow was on the banks of the river, and the other fellow somehow shamed him, tearing off his clothes before he took them off himself, something like that. Bar of Abba Bar Memel, Bisho Yashen Umet Mahu. So he asked the following question. What if a fellow shames another fellow who's asleep? We said there's liability for that. But then the other fellow never woke up. He died. And now he didn't die out of shame. He died because he died. Maikam Baile. So the question is, what was Abba Bar Memel's question? Amar Zvid Hachim Baile. Here, this was his question. Mishum kisufahu, is the issue of boshet because of the shame that the person feels and experiences? Vamitle v'leitle kisufa, this guy died. He never experienced the shame. Odel mishum zilutahu, maybe it's because of the degradation to the person. V'ha'ozle, you degraded him. Toshma, Rameir, Rameir, let's see if we can solve it from this. Rameir says, cheresh v'kot nirshtan boshet. Shaming a cheresh or a cotton, you have to pay for boshet. Shota ein lo boshet. But not a shota. So, if you agree that boshet is because of degradation, that's why katan's there. But if you think it's because of personal feelings of shame, katan bar boshet, little kids don't feel that. Alamai, mishum ziluta, must be degradation. So if that's the case, I feel a shota nami, then why isn't a shota included? He's also being degraded. So amri shota in lecha boshet gdola mizu. He's already living in the worst possible boshet situation. You can't take him further down. He's a shota. He's as degraded as you could get. Mikomakom nifshot minad mishum zilutahu. But this should prove the point that Rav Zvid says was Rav Memel's question, which is that it is a ziluta, and therefore you should have to pay if you shamed the sleeping fellow, even if he died later. Because again, our point is that a katan would not be a recipient of boshet if it was because of personal shame. The answer is no. Right, and this is what we saw at the end of the previous podcast. If you shame him, he's later on, you remind him of the event. When he's an adult, he's shamed. So there is boshet. All right, so this is Rav Zvid's interpretation of the question. Rav Papa Amar, he disagreed and said the question was as follows. Shum kisufa didehu, is it his own personal shame that we're talking about? And so the sleeping fellow died, and there's no personal shame. Well, shum boshet mishpacha. Maybe because of the shame to the family. And you were standing there making fun of this guy who was asleep. And so the family was shamed, and then he died. So Toshma Cheresh got Nishlo Boshet, Shotan Lo Boshet. So go back to the same Brita. If we agree that it's family shame, Hangtani Katan, that's why Katan's there. But if it's personal shame, Katan Bar Boshet, who? So Elamai Mishum Boshet, Debne Mishpacha. So you say, therefore, it must be family shame. Afilu Shotanami. So then a shota should be in. So again, we answer the same way. Shota in lecha boshet gdola mizu. These two treatments are parallel. So in Rav Papa's take, that the issue is boshet mishpacha versus personal boshet, we should be able to prove it's boshet mishpacha because it is, a kid is included. This is where Rav Papa gave that original answer. You shame a kid, later on in life, you remind him of it, or he remembers it, he's embarrassed, so therefore there is personal shame when you're a katan. Vatanya, we have a bright that supports this. Rabbi Omer, cheresh yesh lo boshet, cheresh yesh boshet, shota ein lo boshet, katan pamim yesh lo, pamim ein lo. So as a katan, it depends. And the answer we give to this statement of Rabbi is, hadim chlam ulei umechlam, hadim chlam ulei velo umechlam. If it's the sort of thing that you remind him of and he's shamed, then you have to pay boshet for it. If not, then not. Hamvayeshet asuma. All right, so the next line in the Mishnah and the rest of our sugi is going to deal just with the status of a blind person in halacha. Hamvayeshet asuma. If somebody shames a blind person, you're chayiv. Matnita delok Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah does not work with Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Tan Rabbi Yehuda omer suma in lo boshet. Rabbi Yehuda says a blind person has no boshet, and this we invoked earlier on to prove that Rabbi Yehuda is not the author of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda said a blind person is exempt from going to Ir Miklat, he is exempt from getting Makot, he is exempt from Mitot Beitin. Why? Where does he get that from? So let's start with shame. Gamar Einecha, Einecha mi Edim Zomin. Edim Zomin, we have the phrase, Lo Tachos Einecha, meaning don't have compassion, do what's the proper judgment. But, of course, a blind person cannot be an aid. And so, therefore, since a blind person is exempted from imzomin, the parallel pasuk, which I put on the page, which is lo tachos einecha, in the main source of boshet, in the case of the woman who interferes with her husband's fight with somebody else, those two einechas tell you that a blind person is not in the parsha of boshet. Matam sumin lo, afacha sumin lo. Chayve Galiot, how do we know this? And this is a sugya that we last saw in the Darim. The Tanya below Ra'ot Prat L'Suma Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the pasuk that about inadvertent killing says if a person comes into the forest and he kills somebody without seeing him, so that exempts a suma because suma is somebody who could never see. So it's not as if in this case he didn't see. Rameir says the opposite, that below Ra'ot actually brings the Suma in. Why? The opening part of the Pasuk just talks about anybody walking into the forest to chop wood. That would include a blind person. Then the Torah said, without seeing, if he kills him without seeing him, limute. That excludes a Suma, who is somebody who never sees. Rameir, Katarachmana below Ra'ot Limute. He says below Ra'ot is a mute. Vachatarachmana bivlidat Limute. In one of the other, in that same parsha, it says, without knowing. So I have a mute achar mute. We have a double mute. V'in mute achar mute al Rabot. It must be there to include the Suma. But in any case, for our purposes, Rabbi Yehuda says that a Suma is exempt from Ir Miklat. Ahubivlidat, Pratlimit Kaven Hudata. Rebbeinu says bivlidat is not there as a separate miut, it's there to define that this kind of killing must be a killing in which you really did not intend to hurt the fellow or in any way to attack the fellow. How do we know that a summa, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that a summa cannot be executed? In the Parshan Maaseh, both a golah and somebody who's chayv mitat beitin for premeditated killing are called rotzeach. So that comparison. Chayv malkiot, where do we get that? Rosh mechayv mitat beitin. Both someone who's chayav makot, v'hayam binakot harasha, and asher hu rasha lamut. This word rasha is used in both cases. So we start with galut, because of below ra'ot, that extends to chayv mitat beitin, and then from there to chayv malkiot. Okay, Tanya Idach, we have two more brightot that will expand this further. Rehuda Omer Suma in Laboshet, right? V'chein ha'yah Rabbi Yehuda Poter Mikol Dinim Sheba Torah, meaning he's out of the entire realm of civil liability. Ma'itam and Rabbi Yehuda Amakra V'shaftu Ha'idam and Amakeh V'en Goel Adam Al-Shvatim Ha'ela. In the Parsha Maaseh of Ir Miklat, it says that the court will judge between the killer and the blood avenger, al hamishpatim ha'ele. So what's the connection? Anybody who's in the parsha of killing and the blood avenger, dehainu ir miklat, is involved in the world of mishpatim. So therefore, since a suma, according to Yehuda, is not liable for inadvertent killing and can't go to ir miklat, therefore he's out of the world of mishpatim. Now we go further. Not only is he exempt from the world of Mishpatim, he's exempt from all mitzvot. Basically, the way we treat a cheresh, Rabbi Yehuda treated a suma. Where does he get that from? Right, this is the mitzvah, the chukim mishpatim, a common series in Sefer Dvarim. So the idea is that anybody who's in the world of Mishpatim is also in the world of Mitzvot. And since Rabbi Yehuda already exempted via the first Braita, exempted a Suma from Mishpatim, he's now, by the second Braita, exempting him from the world of Mitzvot. And now we end up with a famous statement of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, you recall, was blind. And Rav Yosef said, Mireshav, I mean, originally I would said, Man da amar halacha Rabbi Yehuda, anybody who tells me that halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, that I'm exempt from all mitzvot, the rest of the mitzvot, ka'avdina yomotav l'arbon, I'll make a party for the students. My time, delom afkidna l'ka'avdina mitzvot. Because I'm not commanded, I'm doing mitzvot anyway, so I'm very happy that I'm doing them as a volunteer, and I get a greater schar. Hashta shamid l'had Rav Chanina, but then once I heard the famous adage of Rav Chanina, gadol mitzvah ve'osav mishen mitzvah ve'osav, that there's a greater reward for somebody who is commanded and does it than someone who does it voluntarily. If somebody tells me halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, which of course is the halacha, we do not rule like Rabbi Yehuda, and a suma is chayav mitzvot. There are several exceptions. Then I'll make a party. My time, since I'm commanded, I have a greater schar. Okay, we'll stop at this point and pick up with Mishnah Bet. Actually, in the next piece, we have Mishnah Bet, Gimel Dalet, and part of Hey, all grouped together. But we will leave that for the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.